Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The two stories, I guess, that have dominated the week, really, were one, Anthony Davis's trade demand from the New Orleans Pelicans, and then the actual trade that took place with the New York Knicks and the Dallas Mavericks involving Kristaps Porzingis going from New York to Dallas, Dennis Smith Jr. going from Dallas to New York, and mainly the Knicks getting cap room to chase maximum level all-stars. And that's what they're going to do. And one of those guys is Kyrie Irving. The Knicks' target, I don't care what you hear, they're going after Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And today, for the first time since the Knicks got all that cap space, the great Kyrie Irving spoke today. Here's what he said.
I mean, well, at the end of the day, I'm going to do what I feel is best for my career. And, you know, that's just where it stands. And my focus this season is winning a championship with the Boston Celtics. You know, obviously we had goals coming into the season, and primary goal is to win championships. So that's where my focus is.
Has your mind shifted, though, in regards to re-signing with Boston, like the announcement?
Ask me July 1st. I spent the last 8 years trying to do what everybody else wanted me to do in terms of making my decisions and trying to validate through the media, through other personnel, managers, anybody in this business, and I don't owe anybody so, you know, for me, I think that the confidence that I have in myself and my abilities, I want to be able to control what I want to control. And, you know, I still have confidence in Boston and what they can promise for the future and what we have in terms of our pieces, and then see what happens at the end of the season.
I got no problem with the his comments.
Well, you don't have any problems with anything Kyrie says or does.
No, I don't have any problem
because
with it.
Because he waved to you from across the room.
That ain't had nothing to do with you still saying that.
At All-Star Week. It's true.
That ain't true.
It is true.
It ain't got nothing to do with no Jordan party and me and Kyrie talking. I'm telling you.
Has he said one contrary word about Kyrie Irving
not yet,
in the last year?
He hasn't given me a reason to, and this is my point. He never promised that he was signing with Boston. He said, my plans are to be here if you want me here. That's exactly what he said. He didn't
say. They want him there.
But he didn't say, I'm signing with Boston. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. I ain't going nowhere. This is where I want to finish my career. I love the city of Boston. I love the Celtics. He didn't say that. And now he said the right thing so that people wouldn't bug him all year about the contract, free agency. He did the right thing by saying that. That shut that down. Now,
well,
of course,
he hadn't shut it down.
Now, of course, the Knicks have money in cap room, so they go to Kyrie. Well, what are you going to do? Are you signing with Boston? And he gave the right answer. We're not there. We're not at free agency
yet. This is a backtrack, Rob.
No,
and I don't have a problem with Kyrie. I don't have a problem with him doing it.
He never said he was signing with the Celtics.
It's a backtrack.
It ain't a backtrack.
He said my plans are to stay in Boston.
You
now he's saying, ask me. Fine. That's what's called a backtrack.
No, it ain't. He didn't backtrack.
Changing is called a backtrack.
No, he never said he was going to Boston.
He said, my plans are to sign here with Boston.
If you will have
him. They want him.
No.
They will have him. What are you talking about?
He didn't sign a contract.
Does Danny Ainge want him?
He didn't sign a contract.
Answer me this.
He didn't sign a contract. The free agency is in July 1st.
Does Danny Ainge want Kyrie Irving?
I'm sure he does. He traded for
him. Then if Kyrie – and again
– it ain't a backtrack.
Where I agree with you, Rob, is that Kyrie – it's fine for him to say this. But don't sit there and tell me it's not a backtrack.
It ain't a backtrack. And let's listen to the sound.
They asked him directly.
Let's listen to the sound.
They asked him – let me finish. They asked him directly, have your plans changed from what you said months ago? He said – ask me July 1st. That's a backtrack.
No, it ain't.
Staying with what you said is no.
No, it ain't. He didn't say either way. He didn't show his cards.
Do we have the sound
we
from
do,
months
from
ago?
October. Let's go back.
Shared it with some of my teammates as well as the organization and everyone else in Boston. If you guys will have me back, I plan on re-signing here next year.
Plan on.
Let's bring in an object. Rob G.
plan
and
on.
And again, I have Kyrie can say and do what he wants, plan and I won't kill him for that. But for you to sit here and say that's not a backtrack, he has every right to change, to backtrack. But you're going to sit here and deny it? What is it?
That was not a backtrack.
What?
No. Thank you.
How is that not a backtrack?
Because he said he planned on it. He intends on it.
Yes, that doesn't mean.
But he didn't say that he would.
At Chris.
Yes, but now he's not even saying I planned on it.
No, he didn't say anything.
He said, ask me July 1st.
That's what I'm saying. So that means it could mean like they gave me the deal, I signed it, and now I'm not going to be a free agent. It doesn't happen till July 1st. He didn't want to talk about it in October. He doesn't want to talk about it now. He's not, and he said the other things. I'm here to win a championship with the Celtics. He don't want to talk about next year. Not now.
He did talk about next year.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Let me show you how he talked about next year. I spent the last 8 years of my career doing what everybody else wants me to do. I don't owe anybody anything. That's referencing what? Next year, summer.
No, I don't get that.
I'm going to do what's best for my career. What's he talking about? Tomorrow night? He's talking about this summer.
Yeah, but that doesn't automatically
mean. And the last guy that came out and said, I spent the last 8, 10, whatever years of my career doing what everybody else wanted me to do was guess who? Kevin Durant.
I'm telling you, it ain't a backtrack.
And what did he do?
All he did.
He left OKC.
All he said was, and he said, and that thing in October, is I plan. He did not say I'm definitely 100%.
Right. Nobody said he did.
It was, and now he's just not giving you what his plan is again or reiterating it. That's all. Chris, why are you so worked up over
it? I'm not. I'm worked up because you are denying the clear
it
obvious
ain't no backtrack.
That is
backtrack. You know what a backtrack is?
Yeah, a change. And that's what he did.
A backtrack
he's not saying the same thing he was saying months ago.
I'm not signing here. I changed my mind.
That's not a backtrack because he never said he was signing
here. Okay, so then how do you backtrack
He
from
said
it?
My plans are to sign here. Now he's saying ask me about my plans
he
in July.
He didn't backtrack because he never said he was signing for sure.
Look. Whether he's backtracking or not.
Oh, now he's whether or not.
No, I mean, we're not getting anywhere sitting here yelling at each other. My point is I don't have a problem. In fact, to be honest, what I hope happens is Kyrie and Kevin Durant both go to New York.
Why?
Because it'd be more exciting. I think it'd be great. I mean, the NBA is about storylines. If you're Kyrie Irving.
You told me the NBA was already great the way it's set up.
It is. Okay. It'll be greater. It'll be greater.
All right, I'm just asking.
If it's storylines. And what better storyline than Kyrie Irving proving he can win without LeBron James with Kevin Durant in New York City? What better storyline than Kevin Durant, who wants to be better than LeBron James, winning with his former teammate for the Knicks? That would be huge. How about the Lakers with Anthony Davis and LeBron against the Knicks with Kyrie and Durant in the finals? You wouldn't want that?
You need to pipe down a little bit because you're going to lose your voice. And
it's
we have
already
2 hours
gone.
And 45 minutes to go.
I'll get through it. Don't worry about my voice.
All right, don't lose your horse, your voice. Thank you.
Don't worry about my voice.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I know this is a sore subject for you.
Not at all. Not at all.
Predictions. I obviously ran away with the pigskin pickoff.
No,
this
you
year.
Didn't. You were.
I did. Yeah. Jonas, because he was so bad, he was 1-4 when he filled in.
Now
for
you're gonna
me.
Rip Jonas because he can't hear the show.
I'm ripping. I'm
Why
telling
are you
the truth.
Why you ripping Jonas?
If I'm talking, I'm ripping.
Oh, is that how it goes?
And you know, Jonas is my man. He could take it, but he didn't. He didn't. He didn't bring it.
He didn't go.
He was 1-4, so he let you get within like 7 or 8 games of me. But just my picks, I had about a 10-11 game lead over you. But now it's time to pick the biggie, the granddaddy of them all. And I'm nine and one in the playoffs.
No, Chris, stop saying that.
Playoffs, if I don't bet, I'm not a gambling man.
It doesn't matter.
If I'm not a gambling man in terms of money, then who cares about the spread?
You were wrong on the other one. Just admit it. You were 8-2.
I don't care about the spread.
Why doesn't 8-2 feel good, Chris?
Because I'm really 9-1. In my mind, I was saying, who's going to win this game? I couldn't care less about the spread in the playoffs. Who cares? It's if I was a betting man on in terms of money, yeah, I would play the spread.
All year, we did the game by the spread, and now all of a sudden.
There's
am I right,
difference.
Rob G? Have we been consistent?
There's a difference
in the regular season. No, there's
even
a spread.
Even in the NFL.
The whole year.
In the regular season, the overtime rules are different.
Chris, we bid the spread.
In the postseason.
8-2 is good. It's all right. I was 7-3. You did
were
well.
You? Was he 7-3? I think you might have been 3-7.
You know I'm not that great at math. That's why I took journalism. All right.
But anyway, let's predict this game. And again, what is the spread? I'm telling y'all, I'm picking the Patriots to win. I don't care what the spread is.
Tom Brady
I don't care
if they win by a point. Tom Brady could do that.
No, Tom
can. I don't care if they win by 3 points. I don't care if they win by half a point. In fact, I want it to be close. There's nothing worse, Rob. Is it? I think you would agree with me on this. There is nothing worse than a blowout Super Bowl.
There used to be a stretch.
Oh,
you remember when
Dallas.
Denver was in it and when Dallas had the there were like some Super
Buffalo.
Bowls and when the 49ers beat the Chargers, you remember that?
Yeah.
There were some Super Bowls where it was over by halftime
and it was terrible.
It was terrible to watch. People were bail. And then all of a sudden, the Super Bowls started getting
lately,
good
they've
again.
Been great.
But there were a time when it was always one team showed up and the other team didn't.
The Seattle blowout of Peyton Manning and the Broncos was terrible.
Terrible.
I was so excited about that game, and it just was horrible from the start. I hope that it's a very close game, kind of like Kansas City, New England was or something like that. You know, like New Orleans, L.A. Rams was. That's what I want to see. But, Rob, I think – I'm not really a Patriots fan.
No, I know you're not.
But I just think that they're a great team and a great franchise, and I think they're going to win. I think that Bill Belichick, given 2 weeks to pick apart those L.A. Rams with video and all that, I think he's going to be able to take away what the Rams do best, and I think he's going to be able to exploit them on the offensive end. Again, don't think it'll be easy, but I do think that the Patriots will win. What do you say?
I'm going with the Rams. I think
shock.
No.
Surprise.
Stop.
No,
it ain't got nothing
is it
to do
not?
With, it has nothing to do with the Patriots.
The
Let's
Patriots
be
could be let me ask you this. Is there a team in the NFC that if they had made the Super Bowl and were playing the Patriots that you would not be pulling for?
Atlanta Falcons.
You would pull for the Patriots over Atlanta.
After that, I will never
really?
Ever.
What's your problem with Atlanta?
The 28-3 when they blew that lead to the Patriots. I would never pick Atlanta for anything. And I know we're in Atlanta. But then you gotta admit, Chris, that was the biggest choke of all.
Well, I'll give the Patriots credit for the comeback,
but it was a choke.
Because the play calling got spooky.
Ridiculous at the end. Exactly.
Yeah, it got ridiculous.
Right? I don't know. I just think Sue and Donald will get to Brady. That's going to be the difference. They have it. And when they made those trades in the offseason, Chris, right, and players like a Sue and a few others, it was about getting to the Super Bowl and winning it. I mean, they had a great year the year before.
Year, yep.
And then they laid an egg at home against Atlanta in that playoff game. And they went and said, hey, we're going to do everything we can, and we're going for it.
Yep.
And they stumbled in December, went 2-2. They looked like they were trending down. And you know what? When they ran over the Cowboys, Chris, that's where I started to say. And you know what? Todd Gurley has to have a bounce back game.
You think he's going to show up?
Yeah, because he played well against Dallas, and I think they understand. This is the moment. This is what Todd Gurley has always been about, right? Here's his big moment, a big situation. I just think that if they can get Brady off his spot, give him some pressure, make him, rush some throws.
That's a big
hit. But it hasn't happened. But we've seen when Brady gets pressure, he's not the same quarterback.
That'll change the game.
That's all.
That'll change.
So I'm going 27-24, Los Angeles.
Just so you know, Kansas City was tied with Pittsburgh for the best pass rush, the most sacks in the NFL this year. The LA Rams were 15th in the league this year in sacks. And Kansas City, which had 11 more sacks in the regular season than the LA Rams, did not lay a glove on Tom Brady. And when they did, it was a penalty. It wasn't, but it was called a penalty.
And here's another thing. Like, the Rams have to start fast in this game because the Patriots have yet to score a first quarter touchdown in all these previous eight.
Right.
They've never scored one.
Right,
so if you're the Rams, you got to jump on them, hold them, and try to get in front of them early on, especially because they have a history of starting slow.
Yeah, because if they don't, if they have to come from behind, then you can kind of, they can't control the game. They can't control the play calls. They can't do what they want to do. They just got to come back. And that means throwing the ball makes them a little more predictable. Look, all year, you're right, Todd Gurley has been the key for the Rams. But, I think Gurley is a tremendous back. But I'm not so sure they can't win this game without him. I mean, he has to play, of course. But they beat New Orleans without him, essentially.
No,
and
I get
CJ
it.
Anderson,
and he's another
has become
one.
A workhorse. Now, one of them has to be productive.
No doubt. But if they get both of them,
CJ.
We saw the way that they ran over the Cowboys.
Yeah.
I mean, they almost rushed for 300 total yards. I'm not saying they're going to get that with the Patriots, but if they can do that and also, you know, get in a situation where they don't turn the ball over and give Tom Brady a short field, they have a chance to win this game.
No, look. I will not be surprised if the Rams win. And I also think that Belichick typically enjoys a big advantage over the other coach. I mean, I think he just coached circles around Andy Reid.
Right. No, I agree with that.
When you don't have a pass rush and all of a sudden you get to the quarterback every time, when they have a great pass rush and all of a sudden they can't get to you, like, I thought he did it. I don't
it
see
ridiculous.
Him doing that to McVay. Now, I'm not saying McVay is as good as Belichick yet. He's obviously young. But I think McVay is a special coach.
And don't forget, McVay also was willing to have that trick play when they were down 13-0, right?
Yep.
And Chris, they were about to punt. They were in trouble.
Yep.
Had New Orleans gotten the ball and scored again, that game probably would have been over right there. Would you agree? Probably with the way that they were playing. And you know what they got? They got the ball back, and they wound up getting a field goal out of it to get on the board, and everything changed.
Yep. Now, look, the Rams, again, they are very capable of winning this game. And, look, we've said it for the last 3 weeks. Kansas City had more talent on paper than New England. The L.A. Chargers had more talent on paper than New England. The L.A. Rams have more talent on paper than New England. But can they turn that great talent into a team that beats Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? That's the question. I think it's a great Super Bowl. You know, I don't know if there's been as much buzz for some reason about it. You know, the NBA has kind of dominated the week news-wise. But I think we're in for a very exciting Super Bowl. It's kind of the old guard versus the new.
Right.
You know, Goff is looks like one of the top quarterbacks of the future. Obviously, McVay looks like he's already got his own coaching tree after 2 years as a head coach.
Which is unbelievable without winning anything.
Right, right.
I mean, that's an incredible thing.
Yep. You got all the big names. Look at how many big names you've got on the Rams, both sides of the ball. But, you know, other than Brady and Gronk, you know, now Edelman kind of – but you know what I mean? Like, not a lot of big names on the New England side. But it's gonna be very interesting.
I'm expecting a good game. I would be totally blown away if it's a blowout either way.
I hope not.
I just don't see that.
Unless
the Patriots lose 67-0, then I'll be all right.
What I will see, that one thing I do not see is a Rams blowout.
Really?
I could see if there's gonna be a blowout, I would think it would be the
Rams scored 30 points a game.
I know they score
a lot. They score.
But I don't see them blowing out Bill Belichick and the Patriots. If there's a blowout, I think it would be on the other side. But we'll see. Hopefully there's not either way, and it's a great game. All right, this man knows a thing or two about blowouts in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
He joins us next. It's the Odd Couple live from Super Week, Fox Sports Radio.
Wow.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
And we are very pleased 15%? To be joined by
15%.
15%.
Sit on your car insurance. That ain't bad,
wow,
right?
That's not bad. That's pretty not good, bad at all, right? Man. Yeah.
It's finally great to have a GOAT.
The three-time Super Bowl
GOAT
champion.
To have a conversation
Hall of Famers.
With.
You are the GOAT. I mean, let's start
Jerry
here.
Jerry Rice.
Because there's a lot
you
of places to go.
Him.
Right.
Jerry
Rice.
Well, you jumped in.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Jerry Rice. He needs no introduction.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, Robert Kraft, who obviously is biased, he said Tom Brady's the greatest football player ever.
Right.
I said, for me, and I want your definition. Yeah. We'll get to the quarterback. But when I think of football player, obviously everybody's doing different things. You're not tackling and so on.
Yeah.
But I got to see a guy who's got the athleticism where I can envision him tackling, blocking, catching, running, doing the things that a football player does. So I said, to me, it's you, Lawrence Taylor, or Jim Brown. What is that a good definition for the greatest football player? Or what do you think of when you think greatest football player?
I think we're all going to be compared, for one thing. And the thing is, though, I like to look at this as being like it's a fraternity of GOATs. You look at football, you look at basketball, you look at all the different sports. There's a fraternity and stuff like that, the greatest of all time. Now, here's the thing, the little kicker, too. Even as a doctor, lawyer, the greatest of all time.
Right.
So we're always going to have that comparison. But the thing is that when I played the game, I loved playing the game. I enjoyed those double days, you know, being in full pads, you know, doing training camp and getting myself ready, you know, for the season. And I always wanted to go out and just play my best football.
I'm not asking you to rip on Tom Brady. That's not what I'm talking about.
No.
But I consider Joe Montana the GOAT when you talk about quarterbacks. He was 4-0 in the Super Bowl, 11 touchdowns, no picks, won two Super Bowls with you, won two Super Bowls without you, won with two different coaches. I mean, what didn't Joe Montana do? And two of those Super Bowls, he needed a touchdown, not a field goal to win, and he got them.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing about Joe, it was his calmness. If we had time on the clock, we knew that he could lead us downfield and win that football game. But, you know, you look at Tom Brady, it's the same thing. It's a different era now, guys. It's totally different than when we played the game. And with the run-pass option, what's happening? The ball is in the air more. I probably had the opportunity to see the ball like maybe five, maybe seven times through a ball game. Now these guys,
it's
crazy.
Seven targets a game.
Yeah,
it's
crazy.
Some
now.
Guys are getting 18, 19 targets a game.
Yeah, it was so funny, too, because I saw this picture, and it said the greatest of all time. And I think it was like three quarterbacks. And guess it was a receiver that was on there.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's just like I sometimes I have to pinch myself because it's almost like, God, you know what? I guess I did okay.
Hey, your stats are unmatched.
We had Michael Irvin on, and he said, you are the greatest receiver of all time.
No doubt about it.
He says, what I tell people is it's ending with that I-C-E, but then you start with the M-I-C-H, you know, with him as number two.
He is funny.
Who's the greatest football player ever?
Jim Brown.
Yep, I knew he would say that.
No hesitation.
Because you being humble.
Yeah. No. No, I would say Jim Brown. I love Walter Payton, too.
You know what I'm saying? He was a great.
It was like, you know, it's one of those things. That's why we need this fraternity, man. We got to get this fraternity. And I was asked also about Element, you know, with what he's doing, during the playoffs
Element?
And stuff like that. I said, you got to start looking at these slot receivers now and say, hey, look, these guys are putting up outstanding numbers. Welker, Amendola, these guys. And you guys start considering, to consider those guys for, the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Only reason that he picked Jim Brown is because he starred in that movie with Raquel Welch.
It's the Odd Couple. We are joined by three-time Super Bowl champion, Hall of Fame wide receiver, arguably the GOAT, Jerry Rice. So when you look at – you mentioned the eras. Do you sometimes wish, like – I know you obviously are happy that you played in your era – but, like, what you might do
now if you got
nowadays,
the ball as much.
Your numbers were prolific
and they
as it
and
was.
They can't hit
right.
you. You know, they can't
right.
hit you
do
the
you,
same.
Like, talk about when you were a receiver.
I got hit on
when
the
you
backside.
Know,
the
right?
Ball, the ball was not even coming my way. I was getting hit.
Right.
If you went across and if you made an effort to catch the football, you were going to get hit. And you had to watch linebackers. When you were coming across the middle, linebackers taking shots at you.
Right.
So
right.
It's like the game is, I would say it's a safer game now. They're protecting players. But I love the era that I played in. I just can't. I can't see myself playing now in football.
Now, can you imagine Ronnie Lott in this era?
No,
he couldn't have been a Ronnie Lott.
No,
Lott.
He couldn't survive.
But do you understand, like, as football goes on, future-wise,
yeah.
A lot of parents are concerned. They don't want their kids to play football, CTE. So you do get right?
Yeah, I realize that. But I always thought of football as being a gladiator sport,
mm-hmm. Right.
you know, and I was willing to take that risk. I understand what parents are thinking now with their kids. I understand what the league is trying to do by making the game safer and all that. But it's still football, you know. People going to get hit, and you know, people going to get hurt.
Your son Jerry Rice Jr. played and was in the NFL for a short moment with the Redskins. If you have younger boys, because we've talked to several NFL players who are saying they really don't want their sons to play. They're younger than yours. Yours is an adult now. But would you, if you had little boys coming up, would you encourage them to play football?
I think, like I said, I think it's safer now than when I played it. My son, he wanted to play. I supported him 100%. I remember when I wanted to play, my mom said, hey, look, it's too violent. I don't want you to play football. But it was something that I really loved doing. And she got a chance to witness, you know, so many great Super Bowls and stuff like that. And, you know, I think we all know we take a risk, you know, when you play this sport. But, yeah, it's something that I really got a lot of enjoyment out of it, and something I wouldn't go back and change.
You mentioned Super Bowls. What do you have a favorite one? I know one you've won three times. You know what I mean? They're all great. But do you have one moment?
Super Bowl 23, when Joe Montana came into the huddle, and we had about 3 minutes, 10 seconds to move the ball all the way downfield. And we were behind. And one mistake, ball game is over. And Joe came in. He called two plays. We broke the huddle. Everything went completely quiet. I couldn't hear the crowd. I couldn't hear anything. And I just knew the importance of making every catch. And it's like you're in that zone. And everything slows down a little bit. You see that rotation on the ball. And
wow.
Just to be in that and still watch John Taylor make that catch, then all of a sudden you hear the cheers. It, you know, it's just something I'll never forget.
I'm getting goosebumps.
Yeah,
wow.
it was crazy, man.
Rob and I talk about this all the time when we compare Brady and Montana. And he talks about Montana obviously being 4-0 in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Brady 5-3. Which would you rather be? Would you rather be able to say you were undefeated in the Super Bowl, but you only won four, or you went to eight and you won five, but you lost some?
Well, I'm gonna tell you guys. You know, I had the opportunity to win four, and it hurt me the most when I lost when I was with the Raiders against Tampa Bay. And that just
that hurt more than the victories.
Because
you enjoy the victories.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's something I'll never forget.
Because
here's the deal. Everything I worked for, it was to get to the Super Bowl. All the sweat, the tears, and everything. Then to actually have that happen where you lose a ball game, now you still got to be that professional. You still got to deal with the media. You still got to deal with your family and stuff like that. So I didn't go to San Diego to lose. And I'm sure it's the same way with the Rams being here. Yes, you know, when it comes to experience, I would say the Patriots. But still, with the Rams, they deserve to be here. Who thought that Clemson would beat Alabama?
Right. And beat them the way that they beat them.
And so this is not a shoe-in. It's like players got to realize that, hey, now with just say New England, these guys don't gotten a lot of opportunities. But say the Rams, they might not ever get back to this.
You don't know, right?
Look at Atlanta.
That's right.
The Falcons.
That's right.
You know
Carolina.
What I'm saying? Yes, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So you got to take advantage of that.
It ain't automatic.
So you've been walking around this whole facility with these two big bottles of Hennessy.
Yes, sir.
One you
so
can leave
us.
Here with me, though.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you guys, when it's all said and done and I'm done, you know, talking about, you know, football and talking about Hennessy, you know, Hennessy has a variety of cognacs, and cognac is a brandy. And it's made in Cognac, France. And the thing is, over 250 years, they have celebrated this with their customers. And they have that never stop, that never settle attitude. And that's why I'm with this, because I never stop and I never settle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the big game coming up, probably Hennessy on the Rocks or Hennessy XO. XO.
XO, that's what I got over here, right?
Hey, but it's extra old, brother.
Is that for me?
It's all that experience and stuff
old
like that.
Too. Oh, stop. Yeah.
So you can go to Hennessy.com/US.
Do they have a senior discount when I order?
Oh, yeah, man. So I can't wait to put this on, you know, after this, just, you know, Hennessy on the ice and stuff like that. And I'm sure whoever wins that football game, they're going to be toasting with Hennessy.
With some Hennessy.
Hey,
the great Jerry Rice. We appreciate it. Good to see you. I hadn't seen you.
Much love, man.
Back at the old place.
I know,
that's right. The old days.
And we keep going.
We keep moving.
No matter what.
Hey, we're here. Bigger and better.
That's what I'm talking about. And I appreciate it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.